Arkansas Razorback, played as a Chicago Bears defensive tackle from 79 to 90, elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 02.
Ed Obradovich.
The U of I, Eli, and I drafted to the Bears in 1962, part of the NFL Championship team of 1963.
Glenn Kozlowski.
BYU Cougar, who played 6 years on the Bears, specializing in special teams and wide receiver. Mark Carmen.
You, Mark Carmen.
Yeah.
You're just a sexy young guy that doesn't know a damn thing.
Welcome to the Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Turkey. OB, we're on
gobble,
the air.
Gobble.
Buddy, what's your complaint with the with your open? What did Chris Duffy leave out about you?
Sell you out the window or before? Which one is it?
Happy turkey. Good to be here, guys.
Turkeys don't fly.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody everywhere.
Everybody everywhere.
I take that back, except Detroit.
There you go. Bears and Lions coming up at 11:30. We're with you till 11 o'clock. Happy Thanksgiving. The Bears and the Lions, we'll get to one of the great moments in Chicago Bears history in a second here, but the lead today is no Mitchell Trubisky, and Chase Daniel will make his third ever start in the National Football League. 10 years, his third start. Hample, he says he prepares like a starter every single week, so this is nothing new for him, even though it's his third start in 10 years.
Yeah, a lot of people are feigning alarm because of the fact that, oh my gosh, he's only... Let me tell you, if there's ever been someone that has prepared themselves for an opportunity like this, it's Chase Daniel. And as you said, 10 years in the league and, what, almost 5 years with this offensive system?
Right.
Theoretically, he is light years ahead of, our starter, Trubisky. So at some point, these things will happen. And we talked about this, ad nauseum, not only before the game last week, but afterwards. We knew Minnesota's pass rush was pretty good. And, there would be ample opportunity for Trubisky to try to make something happen with his legs. But when you continue to do that, it's just a matter of time till you're going to take a shot. Well, guess what? He took a shot, and that's why we're reduced to talking about the backup and him starting today. But I don't have any, feigning of doom and catastrophe. I think the kid makes great decisions. He knows what to do with the ball. And we've talked about this for years, OB. You got guys that can throw the ball 100 yards. That doesn't make him a great quarterback. The secret to being a great quarterback is knowing who to throw it to and throwing it accurately.
Well, I just want to let everybody know out there that Trubisky's impressive mobility may have led to the shoulder injury, and that puts the Bears' passing game in question. Anybody got anything to say?
Well, that's the headline in the Sun-Times.
I was going to let the water boil right there. Keep going. So you think that Chase Daniel's going to be as good, better? What do you think, OB?
No, I don't. You're not losing anything with Chase Daniels coming in there. I mean, come on.
Let me tell you
something. I'd rather have somebody like Mitch Trubisky is leading the league in rushing for quarterbacks. That's not how this game is played. This is a passing game, and if you saw Monday night's game between Kansas City and the Rams, it was unbelievable. Just look at all the teams that win and go. What do? They pass the football, they pass it accurately. We are 7-3. This has been a magical season. I have never seen in all my years a team that if a ball gets tipped, it goes right up in the air, and one of our defensive backs comes by in full stride, grabs the ball and runs 60 yards for a touchdown. A fumble. What happens? Fumble bounces up. Where? Right into a guy with the Bears, right into his hands. If this has been going on. And every call, and Dan, you know damn well what I'm talking about. Every call has gone the Bears' way. And what the Bears should do And you've got to have a real sight problem not to figure this out. This is a lucky year. This is something that maybe could turn in the last, what, six games? Very magical. Take advantage of it. Because I can guarantee you this is not going to happen year after year after year after year. This is unbelievable what I see from week to week and Dan sees from week to week. Everything is going their way. Take advantage of it. Take the next six games. We got Detroit now. Put them out of their misery.
And this is, you know, that's something we're thankful for on this wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. But, you know, at some point, you're right, OB. Don't fight it. Just, you know, lay back, accept the good fortune that we have been granted. But more importantly, we've made the point, if we would have played Chase Daniel in the second half of the Green Bay game, probably would have won that. What about Miami? Probably could have. The kid has a knack of knowing where to put the football, and we'll find out today whether or not, you know, our assumption of him being very competent in this offense is going to pay off or not.
Well, one of the things, Dan, last week that absolutely stunned me, we had the ball more than 10 minutes than our opponent. More than 10 minutes. We got every call, every break, everything happened our way. Defensively, it was unbelievable the things that were happening. And after them, like, folks, for your opponent to have that ball 10 more minutes, that's light years in the National Football League. 10 more minutes than the Lions. I believe it was the Lions.
It was, it was
last
the Vikings.
Week was the Vikings. The Vikings.
We had it 35 minutes. They possessed it 25, which is, like you said, you know, astronomical.
That's light years, folks. Believe me. That score should have been high 30s or in the 40s or maybe in the 50s to whatever the hell the Vikings had. But you know what the score of that game was? 25-20. And again, it came down to the last quarter, the last few drives to figure out who's going to win that football game. We got to put these people away, and we have done it early. But come the second half, which is Coach Nagy, he's got a bad situation with that. And that stems from Kansas City coming here for some reason. All these wonderful, magical things, the greatest defense since the history of football, the greatest this, Trubisky, the greatest quarterback of the Bears, everybody's the greatest this year. Well, gosh darn it, let's start showing it.
Hey, and you know what? I know this for a fact. Played over in Detroit 12 years. It's a house of horrors. It's not Thanksgiving. It's Halloween when you go in there. Trubisky throws three picks last year, maybe his worst game ever. It's not one of those games that you look at on the calendar going, oh, yeah, that's an easy win. It's going to be tough, and I know this for a fact because I had a lot of, maladies during my 12 years on my 12 trips over to Detroit.
Well, when we come back here, we're going to have this will be a non-malady. We're going to celebrate a moment in Bears time that happened on Thanksgiving that Hampo celebrated, but perhaps if you could do it again, you would have celebrated it differently. We'll explain that coming back here. And by the way, I want to pick a little something at you here, Obi. You know, the running thing with Trubisky, they don't have that today. That might be a factor in this game, right? Escapability, picking up first downs. 42 times that he's run at one point last week, 22 of them for first downs. Daniel won't do that today. So it'll be interesting to see how much they miss his escapability.
Mark, let me try to enlighten you a little bit.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of running backs in peewee football, in high school, in college, and professional football? Usually teams have two or three running backs.
Yeah.
And they pay them multi-million dollars to do what? To run the football.
I understand.
What do you get a quarterback for in the National Football League?
I understand.
To do? It's to throw the ball. Is that correct?
That's sure. But when you have a makeshift offensive line that's not protecting you pretty well.
Oh, then what's it going to be the following week? It's an over this. It's an under that. It's this. It's that. For God's sakes, let's call things they are what the hell they are.
Yeah.
Okay? The Bears, talking in circles here. It's a magical year. It's a magical year. Who are you going to take for a quarterback? Patrick Mahomes or Trubisky? Who?
I'm not arguing with you on that at all. I would obviously take Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying that they have benefited by his ability to get away from the quarterback, from pressure.
Hell does that mean? This is a throwing league. You got to throw the football.
You have an offensive line that has put the Bears in peril at times, and Trubisky has shown ability to get away from it.
It is a dimension that comes in awful handy, but at great peril. And now we're living it out because quarterback gets dented.
Exactly right, which we have mentioned, that eventually at some point this doesn't work. I get it.
What did Richard Dent say? If quarterback run, he's going to get bent.
That's exactly.
There you go.
That is exactly what happened at Trubisky.
The Thanksgiving maxim.
How many times have we said, Mark, all this year, last year, every year, it comes up. If you have a running quarterback, it's just a matter of time before he gets cranked. It's going to happen. I don't know what game, where, whatever. But eventually, and sometimes, those are basically almost career-ending injuries because of you're out in an open field and you get hit right from the side.
RG3 looked like the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL, and then it ended real fast.
We're giving the same thing with Trubisky. He's running. He's looking great. Running. For God's sakes, he's a quarterback. How about throwing a damn football?
I'm just talking about how it impacts just today's game. That's it.
It's a dimension that will be, obviously not there with Chase Daniel. But when your quarterback leads the league in rushing,
yes,
just a matter of time till you rush to the backup. And that's what we're doing.
Well
put, Daniel.
Well done by Hampo.
Happy
once
turkey
again.
Leg.
We're coming on back with a moment in Bears time. You don't want to miss it, so stick around. Hey, Bears fans, enter for your chance to win two spots on the all-inclusive Bears fan trip to Cancun at chicagotribune.com/monster giveaway, courtesy of the Chicago Tribune. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure that OB is going and will be sitting by the pool, right, in your bathing suit type of thing, hanging out, having a pina colada. No?
I wasn't paying any attention to you, Mark, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Perhaps OB is not going. It's a happy turkey to everybody. Hampel being Cos with you till 11. Bears and the Lions coming up at 11:30, 720 WGN.
Back to the Hampel OB Show with Cos, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hey, OB, last time the Bears played the Lions, Mitchell Trubisky was 23 of 30, 3 touchdowns, 148.6 quarterback rating, 355 yards. It was a good game, right?
Right. How many yards did you pass for last week?
Last week.
You don't have to look. I'll tell you, 160 yards. The week before, 350. The week before that, how many yards did you pass for?
Don't you like to ride the roller coaster?
How many yards did you pass for? Passed for 126.
No, they had that game won, though. Four in a row. We're going for five in a row today.
You always have excuses.
We need some ketamine treatments for OB.
They're about as weak as you can get.
I am trying to. This is a turkey day. They're going for five in a row. You do.
Oh, come on. They can't
now, think
lose
about
in Detroit.
That.
Give me a break.
Oh, they can.
No, they can't. That's impossible.
Really? Okay.
I'm just telling you, it as you just so aptly stated, it's a magical year, OB. It's like,
yes, it is.
It's almost like the Thanksgiving Day parade. Hey, just join in and let's go.
It was a magical day, November 27th, 1980. It was week 13. The Bears were playing on the road at the Detroit Lions. Going into the fourth quarter.
Week 13. It's got to be bad.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Right.
Well, I never heard this, but go ahead.
So here we go. Week 13, OB. They're down 17-3 going into the fourth. The Lions were 7-5 coming in. The Bears were a 4-8 football team. And then out of nowhere, here come the Bears in the fourth quarter. Last play of the fourth quarter, Vince Evans, 4 yards for the touchdown. Was it a pass or did he run it? I forget, Hampo.
No, I can't remember. But
anyway, bottom line, last play.
I had my eyes closed.
They score on the final play of regulation to tie it up 17 apiece. And that's Hampo's phone calling. So
that's
somebody,
Vince Evans that's saying, how dare you forget my greatest moment?
And then it was the opening kickoff, the kickoff to start overtime.
For a field goal. By the way, Peyton is 123 on 18, and Sims is 72 yards on 19. Walter had 13 yards at halftime.
Vince Evans with a touchdown that tied it. With no time left on the clock, Murray's kick, fielded by Williams at the 5. Williams breaks out of the pack. Dave Williams to the 30. Touchdown, Chicago. They win it on the kickoff after overtime.
Dave Williams takes it to the house. Bears win in OT, 23-17. And then, I'll, Hample, you take it from there. As Dave broke free, what happened?
Well, here's the thing. You know, and you're talking about a magical year, OB. That was, we're 4-8. I expected the worst. We received the kickoff. I was standing on the sideline with my helmet on. I expected him to fumble. And I have to go in and play defense. And then he takes off. And he goes right, then back to the left, down the sideline. He's in the end zone. We are all like, magically, I'm running like a madman into the end zone. There's about 50 guys around me. We're jumping up and down, patting Dave Williams on the back. Not only did we win the game, but now, hey, you know, I don't have to play any more defense. And all of a sudden, it was like somebody hit me in the face with a 2x4. Walter had taken off like 10 yards away and dove into the pile and landed on the back of my helmet. And when he did, the face mask comes up and catches me under my nose, right under the snout, and shatters my nose. And now blood's going everywhere. And everybody's like laughing, looking at me going, what the hell's the matter with you? All I know is, you know, at one time, I had a modicum of good looks. Last week, I was over, little Dan and I went over to OB's place, and there's a beautiful picture of him on the wall. And I said, what year was that? And he goes, don't worry about it. But I'm just saying, we all look good at one time, but after a blow to the nose like that, it was over. But I mean, you know what? It was a magical moment. It was well worth winning the ball game in Detroit.
And as we play the highlight, you can YouTube it. You see 99 running in there, and all of a sudden the helmet just comes up, and you're all discombobulated.
Oh man,
is that like the most famous return of all time, so to speak?
It's one
the way it worked out.
Well, and again, it's on Thanksgiving Day, and it was just a shot in the dark. I mean, we came from 14 down in the fourth quarter and won the ball game. It was pretty amazing.
It's only two times in NFL history that it's happened where the kickoff and overtime's been taken back for a touchdown. Like
but
that.
On Thanksgiving Day,
yeah, right.
You know, for the nation to be watching, that was it was pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff.
Well,
and so I get on the plane with cotton sticking out of my nose, but I was smiling.
That's so awesome.
Getting with this Detroit game today, and I think the Bears will, Chase will do, I think, an admirable job. The only thing is, and what have we been winning with all your guys? Our offense or our defense?
No, it's defense.
Our defense has won us all these games. And what a great time to play this Thursday, even though it was short from Sunday night to now. But guess what? We've got a tougher opponent. I believe it's Minnesota, right?
We play them the last week of the season. As far as the schedule goes, you're
who are we playing in 10 days?
Well,
no, we're going to New York in 10 days.
We got the Giants, but I think you're looking ahead to the Rams, OB, which is that game's been flexed, so it's a Sunday night game on December the 9th. Giants won't be easy, though, on the road. And look, today's not going to be easy. The Bears, to your point, like this is not the 85 Bears. It's not a powerhouse team. Any game they play, I don't think you're going to walk in and be.
Not according to Chicago Press.
Which, anybody particular in the press you want to?
It doesn't. They're all. Okay. They're all eating at the same table.
Everyone's picking them today.
They're all.
They've got the pom-poms are lined up. I'm just telling you, just as we went over and stole that game, you know, 30 years, whatever it was ago, crazy things happen on Thanksgiving, especially on, you know, in this rivalry. This, you know, Detroit has never been like our arch enemy. I hate Minnesota. I hate Green Bay. Detroit, they're like the kid next door that breaks your window. You hate him, but you try to, you know, not think about him. But guess what? Today, we got to think about him. And you know what? They beat Carolina last week. Carolina is a good football team.
Let's come on back here after the news. We'll bring Kaz into the show, and we'll continue to discuss the Lions and the Bears. And yes, OB?
No, just one thing.
Yeah, okay.
One guy who hated the Lions. I mean, unbelievably so. Dick Butkus. He would be
Flanagan in the center, didn't he?
Foaming at the mouth all week long, waiting for the Lions. Yep, I get their center, Flanagan. Oh my God, Dick would pop him.
The Bears are getting beat by 30 points, and 8 seconds left in the game, he calls timeout. Everybody goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I want one more shot at him."
You know how many times that happened? We did. Dick did that about three or four times, and the game, it's out of reach. We're getting beat. You know, our offense, whatever they're doing, nobody ever makes to this day can't figure out. But anyway, they're down there. I mean, wherever we are in the field, but a lot of times down on the and they're trying to run the clock out, Jim. I'll tell you what. And they'd come out, Dick would take a timeout. Quarterback would take a knee, and they'd turn around. Are you crazy? What's the matter with you? Whoa, I'll tell you what. But we all teed off after him. Just one more hit. One more shot to get him.
That's the mentality right there.
That's pro football.
Back then, that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was the most violent decade of football was in the 60s, and that's what it was.
Yep.
How many times can you hit him, and how hard can you hit him, and how fast can you put him out of the game?
NFL, 1960 is a beautiful thing. Look at that. All right. Hey, news is next. Then Kaz. We're here till 11. Happy Thanksgiving, Hamp OB and Kaz on 720 WGN.
This is the Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Happy Turkey, Hamp and OB with Kaz with you till 11. Hope you're having a great start to your Thanksgiving. Bears and the Lions coming up at 11:30. Let's bring in our guy, Glenn Kozlowski. Happy turkey to the Kaz, man. Happy turkey, Ken.
Ken? Am I Ken now?
I think I said Glenn, but if I said Ken, it's I enjoyed.
Yeah, it was Kaz and Glenn put together. We're trying to abbreviate it.
I just miss you, Kaz, and so it just doesn't come out as clean for me. I apologize.
He's lying.
Not a problem. By the way, you really read that medical commercial well.
Did you like that?
Oh, you really painted the picture. Well, man, I was ready to go.
Did you order some?
Not yet, but okay. I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Guys, I got to hear the start of the show, and first and foremost, happy Thanksgiving to all three of you. And, you know, Mark, I'm glad you're not playing football because we don't want another AC separation or anything. But
that's right. So, well, that's what Trubisky has, apparently, right?
Yeah, well, it happens. You know, when you run that much, you're going to you expose yourself to getting hit from the sides or from different angles. And
when they're running
usually
backwards,
you get hurt. It happens. I mean, it just does. Now, I the only thing I would say is that, you know, Chase Daniels has been on how many teams now?
Seven
Four,
teams.
Five. It's been a few teams, right? I'm not sure that a guy that hasn't taken a meaningful snap in 12 weeks is going to go out there and be lights out. So,
hey, Glenn?
Yes, sir?
Yeah. You know, when the Buffalo Bills, after we played them, during that week, just a few days before, remember they brought on Barkley for a backup quarterback?
Yep.
For the injuries? You know what he threw for, what, almost 350 yards the next week? And the Bills won a game? And here's a kid, he wasn't even, I don't even think he was even in the league.
No, I don't believe the Bills won that game. But if they, again, Barkley was
They beat the Jets, guys. The Jets came back a little bit, but they beat the Jets, yeah.
Okay, great. But it's you're 12 weeks into a season with an offense that is used to Trubisky. Love him or hate him, the team understands what they're doing, the nuances. So this will be. It's not going to be a. It's not going to be a great offensive performance. I just don't see it. But having said that, the way the Bears are 7-3 is because their defense is number one in interceptions and forced fumbles and scoring. So, you know, that's why they're 7-3. So the defense will have to step up today. But I wouldn't get all pom poms out about Chase Daniels taking over quarterback duties because I don't know that that's going to be all that good.
Even if he's unbelievable today, let's just say the Bears win and Daniel goes 25-28, which I don't think will throw that many times. But let's just say, for argument's sake, the Bears are down; they got to throw a ton.
They're going to have to throw today. You know, listen.
You think so?
It's a tough place to play in Detroit. And Dan has talked about it. Ed has talked about it. Last time I played in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day, Jim Harbaugh threw 6 interceptions and we got crushed. And we were a good team that year, so. It happens. It's a tough place to play. The Lions show up on Thanksgiving Day. They're ready. They're fired up. And this is the shortest week in the history of the NFL between games for any team. And the Bears get it. So, as wonderful as this season has been, the flexing of their wins put them in a bind a little bit.
You know, Glenn, what you just talked about—that's a damn good point. So I'm going to tell you why. I thought George McCaskey, for them flexing that Minnesota game to a Sunday night game and the National Football League and television execs knowing full well They're playing on Thanksgiving. And not only that, on the early game on Thanksgiving. I thought maybe George McCaskey, and I'm not saying that he didn't, but I hope hopefully he did, try to fight against them flexing that game, because it does make a big difference from a 12 noon kickoff to a Sunday night game at 7:20. That's huge, especially when you got to play basically 3-4 days later. So I thought maybe George McCaskey, if he did, but that'd be something to know if he fought against it. But if he didn't, he should have.
But think about this, guys. Not only, you know, the short week, and you could say 84 hours, 88 hours, whatever it was from start to, you know, from opening kickoff Sunday night to Thursday, 11:30. The one thing is, you don't have a choice, and you got to play. Now, and you know, as much as you would like to say McCaskey could try to stop it, I don't think you can. I think the NFL has autonomy, and they can do whatever they want. But on the other side of the coin, the Bears have 3 out of 4 games where they will be exposed to national television and prime time. And this is a team that for 6 years of the reign of terror of Tressman and Fox, we are now not only relevant, but we're in first place. When everybody talks about the Bears, it's not as an also-ran. Once you get past the Saints and the Rams, the Bears are essentially the next best team in football. If we go out and play great football today, suck it up and say, hey, we're going to be here. We might as well, you know, turn it loose and then go to New York, take care of business, and then come back and beat the Rams. The Bears will force their way into, I hate to say, as you always say, OB, a Super Bowl conversation.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, though, you're playing against Detroit, and Detroit is not by any stretch of the imagination a good football team. Anywhere, offensively, defensively, it doesn't matter. Their record reflects it. It shows it. So this is a game, if we're going to be a short week and we're going to play against a team like Buffalo, you know, and a team like Detroit Lions, as things are going this year, those are the teams you want to play. And as it happens, we play Thursday against where? Detroit. Bears should take care of business today.
Well, they're missing their running back, too. Kerryon Johnson, rookie running back, who leads them with 641 yards. LeGarrette Blount started last week. He was awful, looks old and bad. Zach Zenner might be getting a bunch of carries today. I don't know if Bears fans are paying attention to Zach Zenner. He's in his fourth year out of South Dakota State, but that's a guy who might get an opportunity today. Kaza, like, how do you see if the Bears have problems today, how do you see it occurring? Matthew Stafford goes big?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Detroit is going to throw the football. They can't run the football. They haven't been able to run the football the last 3 years, and that's why you see the inconsistent play from them at times. If he's off or if the offensive line sees a scheme that they can't protect against, it's a long day. So, you know, they're going to throw it. It's going to be up to the Bears' defense up front, especially the front seven guys, eight guys, to get pressure on Stafford, get him out of sync, and knock him around a little bit. And if they can do that, then, you know, the Bears are going to win the game. I just don't think, you know, again, maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see Chase Daniels being able to come in and have a huge day. But if the Bears continue to do what they do on defense and give him a short field, I suppose it's possible that they score a lot of points. But, this is going to have to be special teams and defense, I think, today. And with the injury to Trubisky, it's probably going to be a little longer view on seeing how Chase Daniels will be. I think he will be fine. He may turn out exactly like Dan said to be the better of the two quarterbacks. But I think it's a lot of pressure this week, or a lot to think that he could be good and great this week. That's all.
Well, the last time we were on the road in Buffalo, pretty good defense. Well, we had 14 penalties, including 3 false starts. The noise today, you know, I know, it's going to be awful loud with a new quarterback, new cadence. You could smell trouble coming.
Hey,
and remember, last time they kicked our field goal kicker was, you know, hitting everything but the uprights. Or actually, I guess he hit the uprights a bunch, but he was missing between the two uprights.
That's a valid point in the Lions game. The first time, that's 8 more points the Bears should have had in the what was a 12-point win. So remember, it's a 20-point win.
Remember, gentlemen, that we played Detroit here, and Nagy trying, you know, coming up with his trick plays and whatever have you, and how bad the Lions got thumped. And I had a feeling inside me that, wait a minute, we're going to see him again shortly. Their head coach and their players, they're going to remember the stuff that Nagy pulled and how bad they got thumped around here. I had a bad feeling about us going up to Detroit. But even with Trubisky out, I think with Daniel, I think we can still pull this game out.
Hey, more than ever, we need to turn to someone we trust, especially when it involves protecting our family. Jeff Vukovich knows your insurance. Check out jeffvuk.com because Nationwide is on your side.
The Vuk.
The Vuk. Quick timeout.
Did Dan miss the Vuk yelling? What happened there?
He Tampo
stepped out.
He vooked out.
He vooked out for a second.
He vooked out.
Obi stepped in beautifully. We'll do an extra vook the next time he comes around. Quick timeout. Kaz has got a special message after this quick timeout. 720 WGN.
Touchdown Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, thank you to the Mancini Law Group. Injured or hurt in an accident, indeed. I'm Hamp, OB, and Kaz with you till 11 o'clock today.
Hey, I want to apologize. You know, I left to go check on the turkey. Nobody could vook for me while I was out of the room. Well, somebody needed to vook.
You sort of vooked, OB. It was a decent vook.
I gotta have a vook.
You want to try it again?
Vook!
There we go.
Very nice. So, just for the record, not that it necessarily matters anything today, but on Thanksgiving, nobody in the history of the NFL has thrown for more passing yards, 2,649, than the Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford. Does that factor in anything to anyone today?
Sure it does. And you know, it's a desperate team. Minnesota showed that, you know, being good on paper doesn't cut it with this defense. And as LB just aptly brought up, you know, some of the little sneaky things that the Bears have kind of pulled the last couple of weeks could come back and haunt us here today. And you know, and I know, OB, nobody likes to be embarrassed, especially in front of the nation. And the Detroit Lions will come out, and they're going to be 8 foot tall and bulletproof until we put them in their place. Now, will we be able to match that emotion? It's a short week. It was a big win. Sunday night's win was the biggest we've had in 6 years. So, will the team be able to regenerate that intensity? That's going to be the question. If they don't, Matt Stafford's going to light us up.
Yeah, you know, you were talking about Nagy with his little his trick plays, especially last week. My Lord, when he came down and he takes Hicks, puts him in the backfield, then puts him out at the flanker position, and he does all these things, folks. You have no idea, and just believe me when I tell you this, that opposition, when they see something like that, number one, you're trying to embarrass the hell out of us, make us look like fools, and you're some kind of a genius. And I know, because that's happened when I played one or two times, and I'll tell you what, they do not forget. They do not forget. Now, whether it's meaningful enough to mean something in this game today or when we play Minnesota with Nagy pulling those little cheap tricks, we'll see. But I'll tell you what, I think the Lions are going to come out with a little extra something special, Dan.
You don't
think, that's just my opinion.
You don't think the players look at that stuff different today than you did back when you were playing OB? Well,
you like to be made a fool out of?
I don't know if they think, if they feel that they've been made
you a like fool. To be made a fool out of?
But I don't know if they think that.
All right, you bring a 330-pound defensive tackle in and bring him, put him in motion into
going for 2 points to start a game off. And I hear all the stats, and you know, stats are for losers, but it's BS. And his answer was kind of smurfy and smart alecky about, well, you know, we hadn't run a couple of plays, that's why we threw him in and went for it. You know, losing those extra points could have made a world of difference too. So it was pretty. It was smurfy. It was kind of in your face, and you know, we can get two on you anytime we want, and yeah, teams remember that.
Yeah, I just remember that when the 49ers put Guy McIntyre in the backfield against us. Dick couldn't wait. 10 months later, he stuck it up their address when he put Fridge in. That was the beginning of all that nonsense with Fridge in the backfield and all that craziness. It was because it was a tit for tat. And like OB says, nobody forgets in this league.
Back then and right now, it's just if I was a player in today and I looked, what are you doing? What are you putting a 320-pound guy out at wide receiver down on the goal line? What are we, fools? Is that what you think of us?
Whew. It worked. It worked then. We'll see if it works again.
Yeah, by the way, you brought up the stat, Mark. You do realize, right, that the Lions play every Thanksgiving Day.
I
would hope Matthew Stafford has the most yards passed because they are the one team that plays every Thanksgiving Day. Dallas is starting to do it too, but it really was the Lions.
Well, the Cowboys have always played on Thanksgiving also. But yes, of course, he has played the most games. I'm not trying to rise up Matthew Stafford and that he's Aaron Rodgers. Let me throw another stat at you. The Lions have beaten the Bears the last 5 times up in Detroit. Does that matter?
No.
Not at all?
Well, we had John Fox and Mark Trestman as as head coaches.
That's
so
true.
That has to be considered. But ultimately, trends are what they are. And up until we beat Detroit 3 weeks ago, Trubisky had not beat a divisional foe. He was 0-6. So now the arrow's going the other way. This would be the third consecutive victory. Trubisky's not playing, but that we are able to, enjoy against our division opponents. And Dick always said, hey, if you want to go to the playoffs, the quickest path is win your division. And that's what you got to do. You got to beat the people in your division.
I'm trying to make the point that, look, they don't win up in Detroit. You got a really quick turnaround. You got a backup quarterback going on. You've got a Lions team that tends to play well. For me, the Bears winning today would be a hell of an accomplishment.
I think so, too. And I'll be honest with you, OB. You can say all you want about Detroit is without, certain weapons and their defense isn't that good. I think we're going to see a magnificent effort by the Lions today, and make no pretense.
Well,
this is almost their playoff game because if they lose today, it's over, Rover, and they know it, and we better be prepared for it.
Well, I don't know. I think the Bears, if they can pull this win off today, and I'm talking about a magical season, and then we have, 10 days off before we play the New York Giants?
Yep.
As the Giants, I don't know, have they won a football game yet?
Yeah, they've won 2 in a row now, and they're actually playing pretty well. But having said that, they're still a team that has, they got rid of
my point,
2 or
Glenn,
3 talented players.
Glenn, right? My point was, everything's fallen the Bears' way. Every call, everything, every bounce of the ball, that was my point. You got 10 days. If they beat these Lions today, they got another 10 days to get ready and go up and play in New York against a team that is... They're terrible.
Kazi, that tone means it's 10 o'clock. Any final thoughts on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, listen, it's going to be tough. It's going to be much more difficult than anybody is acknowledging. I think we've said it. It's going to be a hard day to win. But if they win, they are fully in control of their own destiny and clearly in control of the division. But today is probably going to be the toughest game for the Chicago Bears in this season. That they, today's day, playing up there on Thanksgiving on a short week. There's a lot of things going against them.
So. Want to give a prediction?
Give a prediction? I think the Bears end up losing by 3.
Lions by 3 for Kaz. Score?
24-21.
Okay. All right. Happy turkey, Kaz.
You too, guys.
Have a good Thanksgiving,
Glenn.
Have a
great Thanksgiving with your families.
All right, Kaz, leaving the show as we've got for the last hour today. Happy turkey.
Before we go here, our defense, as it's been rolling all year and getting better, you're playing against a team that has no offensive threats, no receivers. They have no running backs, and they've had problems in their line. If anything that should happen today, let's say Daniels doesn't really play that well. If anything that should happen today, which has happened every week, the calls go our way, but our defense should dominate this game against the Lions. The Lions, you have a quarterback and there's nobody to throw to. They have no backs to run the ball. They've got a lot of problems. I tell you what, I think the Bears should go up there, and I'm telling you, Daniel, from what I see with our defense, the way it's rolling, they could shut them out.
Kerryon Johnson is their leading running back. He's not playing. Golden Tate's their second leading receiver. He's playing for the Eagles. Matthew Stafford is not exactly having the best season that he's ever had. That's all true. But here, we'll keep on rolling through it. And we have a preview of Chase Daniel, somebody who really saw him play 10 years ago.
His mother?
What, on Madden?
His father?
We have a special guy coming up after 10 o'clock, 720 WGN.
This is the Hampton OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Happy Thanksgiving. Hamp OB and Kaz on 720 WGN. Mark Harmon with you as well, with you till 11 o'clock today. All right, so Chase Daniel is going to make his third ever start in the NFL today. OB, you're very confident, correct? You think he's going to throw for a couple touchdowns?
I think he's a pretty good guardian of the ball. He's got great accuracy, and he doesn't rattle under pressure. So, I mean, if I was Detroit, and him having played in only, what, 3-4 games in his whole career, if I was Detroit, I'd come with every blitz known to mankind, and I'd go after him from the first play on, and I'd keep firing at Daniels, hopefully get him upset.
Hampo, is he going to throw for over 250 yards?
Nah, probably. And you know what? We've been waiting all year for the running game. Why not? You know, Jordan Howard comes up with 63 on the ground last week, and there were flashes where he was – not only making a few people miss, but, you know, pushing the sticks. So we'll find out.
Hold on, one thing, Mark. Dan, yes. you agree with me that you think Detroit will come after him with everything?
I would.
For him being this his first start in, I don't know what, 4 years?
Right. And you can, you know, practice today is, you know, walking through, you know, drills and 7-on-7. Yeah. Hey, the game's fast. When the ball snaps, we'll see if he can make quick decisions.
We have a very special guest on the line. His name is Carrington Harrison. He does afternoons on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. His first ever show, guys, was with me. So I have a very special connection to this gentleman. But the key...
He has our condolences.
He absolutely does. The key, though, is that this dude that we're talking to right now is the biggest Missouri fan slash football expert you will find. And Chase Daniel, when he was actually rolling, was with the Missouri Tigers. He threw 101 touchdowns in his career at Mizzou, only 41 picks. So, Carrington, welcome to the show, first of all. And you can just tell Chicago and the NFL, because no one's really seen him play two starts in his career. What can we expect today from Chase Daniel?
Carm, first off, I'm happy that you thought of me, because you're right. If there's any person that loves Chase Daniel, it would be me. He is the best player in the modern era for the University of Missouri. So I'm definitely qualified to talk about Chase Daniel. I think he's a capable backup. I think everything that you guys have said so far is about right. I think maybe the best NFL comparison would probably be Colt McCoy. Like, I think that's kind of what he is. I think he's a capable backup. I think he's probably like the 40th best quarterback in the NFL. He is more than capable than winning today.
Obi, does that not give you confidence right there? A capable backup. Carrington.
Carrington. He didn't even have to say that to me. I believe that. I think you talk about backups. Look at some of the other teams. Their backups. You know, they're back up. It's all right. They're backed up out of league almost. But this kid, he can get it done.
Carrington, Mitchell Trubisky has eluded a lot of pressure. He leads all quarterbacks in rushing. Can Chase Daniel move?
No, he's not going to be that kind of quarterback. I mean, I kind of think this is a situation where you really see Matt Nagy's ability. I mean, Nagy knows him from his time in Kansas City. And you can scheme some stuff with Chase Daniel. I mean, I think we see now in 2018, it just gets the ball out of your hands quickly and make plays. And it's not like the Bears lack for weapons. You guys talk about the running game. You got Jordan Howard. You got Tariq Cohen. You have some weapons on the outside. So, I mean, he's obviously not Mitch Trubisky. This is obviously a step down. But I think the goal in the NFL is, you need to have a quarterback that you think if he can play 4 games, you can go 2-2. Chase Daniel's more than capable of doing that.
Hampo, these guys are kind of dreaming up, Carrington, that there will be a quarterback controversy, a slight one, not that the Bears would ever.
No, it's not going to be a quarterback controversy. I mean, you got to think about it like this. Chase Daniel has been in the NFL since, what, 2009? I mean, he's had four career starts. I mean, at some point, someone would have given you the opportunity to start. That's never happened for Chase Daniel, even though he's had free agent opportunities. And you got to think about it. He's optionally signed up to be a backup multiple times. So I think the NFL has kind of pegged what he is at this point.
Well, and the one thing about this game being on such, the short week, the head coach, Matt Nagy, came out, I think, on Monday and said, hey, look, we're not changing anything. We put the game plan in 2 weeks ago because we knew that it would be such a compacted area of, kind of getting ready, having to travel, going to Detroit on Wednesday, that we're not going to change anything. Now, the one thing that kind of puzzles me is if you watch the Bears offense, and OB, you call it a gimmick offense. There's all kinds of motion and fly sweeps and speed screens and all these. He is more than capable of operating this offense, do you think, without having a lot of practice, because he's had virtually none, because, Trubisky is still green and he is getting virtually every snap during the week in practice to prepare on a weekly basis. So, hey, Chase has got to come in and basically run this offense, without doing it. Can he do it?
Yeah, I mean, I would say two things. I would say, number one, I really wouldn't be surprised to see Chase Daniel kind of go into coaching at the end of this and, like, being someone's offensive coordinator. I mean, everybody that you talk to has talked about his football IQ and his preparation. So I don't think the short week is going to really have any effect on Chase Daniel. And, I mean, we talk about gimmicky offenses. Man, that's just football in 2018. I mean, we all watch Monday Night Football. We watched the Eagles last year in the Super Bowl. I mean, gimmicky is the new normal when it comes to it. I just think we see that those reverses and movements and motions and things that we see every Sunday or every week in the NFL, that's not abnormal anymore.
Well, you're right with that. But with us, as far as the Bears are concerned, we're a dink and dunk trick offense. This Nagy comes up with more unbelievable formations. Like the other week, he came up with our 320-pound defensive tackle Hicks as a running back, and then put him out at a flanker back. And what he's doing, or what I believe and what I know to be about this game, the only thing I know that's going to happen, he's aggravating a lot of coaching staffs and a lot of formidable opponents by pulling this stuff where he thinks he's going to embarrass. He's so sharp that he can do this and catch everybody off guard and make them look like fools. He better watch it. He better be careful.
That whole thing you talk about is, I mean, that was basically the Chiefs last year. I mean, the Chiefs, I mean, you guys watch Monday Night Football, Cam Irving, you saw him get beat a couple times by Aaron Donald on a couple of his big-time plays. I mean, Cam Irving caught a pass last year for the Kansas City Chiefs. So Nagy is just doing what he saw Andy Reid do. So, I just think we're seeing that football is starting to change in a way that those kind of plays and those kind of things that teams are doing, I don't know if it's considered gimmicky anymore, and I just think that's just part of teams' offense.
You're about to get a good fight here with OB. Stand your ground, Carrington.
Carrington,
I do the same.
Tell me, you said Andy Reid, okay? Last year, who was Kansas City's offensive coordinator?
Matt Nagy.
Thank you.
That's it?
That's it. There's nothing more to say.
But he didn't start calling plays until what part of the year last year, Carrington?
If you want my conspiracy here, I actually don't think Matt Nagy was calling the plays. I always think Andy Reid's been calling it, and I think Andy Reid is kind of one of those people that will let you put that on your LinkedIn
Carrington,
page to help you get a job going on.
So when Matt Nagy was on the sidelines in Kansas City, all he was doing was just mouthing some words or something, and all of a sudden all these miracle signals were coming in from Reid?
I mean, that's,
come on.
That's what I think happens. I mean, I just feel like it's always been very convenient. I mean, the last 2 years, that's been the narrative. It happened with Doug Peterson for the Eagles. The second half of the season, he started calling plays, and he got a head coaching job with the Eagles. Then the next year, Matt Nagy starts calling plays the second half of the season. I mean, last year, I mean, through the first 7 weeks, the Chiefs averaged 36 points. We think now they just were like, hey, you know what, Matt Nagy, you know what? What we were doing wasn't working. We'll just start letting you call plays. I've always thought it was some shenanigans and funny business going on there, but that's just my theory.
Well, the one thing that you see about Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes you talk about a dynamite offense and that takes advantage of the rules of the game, that this is a passing league, and they got Patrick Mahomes, there's no trickery there. They just flat out beat you to death with those receivers and the great accuracy that Patrick Mahomes has. He's cool under fire. Boy, what a pick you guys made with that kid.
You want to trade him for Trubisky?
No, I would not trade him for Trubisky. I mean, Kansas City, I mean, they run a gimmicky kind of offense, too. I mean, that's always been the criticism of their offense. I just think, I mean, I think the lasting message that we got from Monday Night Football is, if your team isn't prepared for the clear shift that's happening in the NFL with passing yards, then you're about to get left behind. So as a Bears fan, I would feel optimistic of, you've got an offensive-minded coach, you've got a young quarterback, and let's see what happens. So I wouldn't be discouraged by it. Now, I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes than have Mitch Trubisky, but I think we're starting to see, like, there's a tier system in the NFL with young quarterbacks, and Trubisky is in the mix, I think.
All right, one last thing. You know, over the course of the first 10 games, we would give Matt Nagy an A in the first half offensive game plan, but in the second half, a lot of question marks. Now, if the Bears falter in the second half, is Chase Daniel a capable quarterback enough to be able to come from behind and find a way to win if the Bears find themselves down in the fourth quarter?
I mean, I don't know if Chase Daniel's somebody to bring you back double digits in this game, but I think if it's a one-score game, I think Chase Daniel's more than capable. I maybe disagree with you guys a little bit earlier today. I don't think he's throwing for 250 yards. I think that ends up being bad for the Bears. I could see Chase Daniel throwing for 212, two touchdowns, one interception, and this is a game that you kind of lean on supporting Cass to try to get this game done. I don't think the game plan needs to be Chase Daniel throw it 35 times and throw for 350. I would say maybe kind of like how Nick Mullins was for the 49ers whenever he came in for them a couple weeks ago. Yep. I would think somewhere around that range would be good for the Bears today.
Hey, Carrington, good information. Good talking to you. You got it nailed down, kid.
See you, Dad. You're the
no
man.
Problem. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Carrington, good to talk to
Thanks,
you.
Carl.
All right, my man, Carrington Harrison.
He did.
He's
good.
Hey, I'm not blind.
And by the way, a lot of those gaudy stats that Daniel had in college was against my Razorbacks. So thanks a lot for bringing it up.
That was our Chase Daniel expert, Carrington Harrison, 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. This week on Chicago's Best, the CB team is exploring the Italian boot one dish at a time. It's Chicago's Best Italian. Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Adam Hoge at the bottom of the hour, Bears and Lions at 11:30. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Bears history on Turkey Day coming up, 7:20 WGN.
This is the Hampton OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 7:20 WGN.
720 WGN. Hey, OB. What was happening?
I was just telling Dan a football story. You know, about, you coming off, playing and you're fighting, and you stop the team and you come off and you're walking to the bench. And back in the days, George Halas, I hated to hear that word defense. So we're coming off, our offense is out there, one play,
reaching
fumble, interception, and I'm just trying to go get this thing to go sit down on the bench. Defense! That means you got to go back out there. If I heard that once, I heard it. I couldn't tell you how many times. I said, oh, my God. That's what I was telling Dan.
Do you remember the first time the Bears ever played on Thanksgiving?
No.
1920. They beat the Chicago Tigers 6-0. Damn it. It's a huge win for the Bears in 1920. Do you remember the first time Red Grange ever played on Thanksgiving?
No.
Making his Bears debut on Thanksgiving 1925. He rushed for 36 yards in a thrilling nothing tie with the Chicago Cardinals at Wrigley Field.
Wow.
That was just 5 days, by the way, after he played his final college game at Illinois.
Yeah.
Right from, that's
well, that's when Halas took him out of Illinois, and then he went barnstorming all over the country with the Galloping Ghost, Red Grange, and it worked. It worked.
The National Football League somehow became into existence, right?
Yeah, sure.
Do you give Hal? He's credited with co-founder of the NFL.
No, he's not. Forget about co-founder. He was the guy that started the National Football for back from the Decatur Staleys. He had a vision, and, you know, they talked about the Myra family in New York, and I can't forget the guy in Washington. You know what? Forget about it. The man that kept it alive was him. There were three teams that were didn't have the monies to stay alive, and this is going back like in the 40s, the 30s, the 40s. He gave him the money, whatever he did, signed papers to keep him alive because that was him. George Halas was the only one, not the Myra family, not a couple other people that think they take they jump on and say, well, their family did it. No, it was George Halas. The Hall of Fame is on George S. Halas Drive.
Yes, it is. 21-21, Canton, Ohio. Hey, do you ever have you over for Thanksgiving?
Who, Halas?
Yeah.
He never had anybody over for Thanksgiving.
I was going to say, did he charge you when he got to the door?
Yeah, he probably would have. That's for sure. One thing, yeah. He's original West Side Bohemian. Boy, I'll tell you what. $6.50, he kept every dime he had.
$6.50 a man, three for the kids.
Right? Bears are all-time 17-15-2 on Thanksgiving, and the last time they played was when they beat the Packers 17-13. That was up at Lambeau 2015. That was the Martellus Bennett game where he didn't want to play, didn't show up, stayed home, watched, didn't even watch it on TV.
Boy.
We knocked
like I said, the reign of terror of the Tressman Fox era. It was sad. And, you know, hey, let's enjoy this. But, again, it comes with a cost and a price. And we'll find out if we're willing to pay it at 11:30.
You know, the one thing about Trubisky, and which I said like last year, this kid runs and runs with the ball. And, Mark, you know it, and I've and Dan said it a million times, you can see it happens. You get a quarterback that runs with the football, and not only that, and what I don't like about Nagy, he's designing running plays for this kid to put him in harm's way more often. And I don't like that a bit because this is a passing league. I'd rather see him work on passes and different bootlegs and rollouts, which we hardly ever see. I'd rather see him take the time and looking to put that into our offensive fireworks instead of putting running plays with our quarterback running the football. He runs enough. And what's going to happen, what did happen, he got hurt the other day, and I'll tell you what, there's more to come. You can't run in this league. You're going to get nailed. That's why you have running backs.
312-981-7200, the phone number. Hampelby and Cos with you till 11 on 720 WGN. Jim, welcome to the show. What's up, Jim?
Hi, how are you? Well, first of all, I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody there.
Thanks, Jim.
And with it being Thanksgiving, I just want to say I think it's time to reflect on what we have to be thankful for as Bears fans. For one thing, I think we have been getting a lot of calls this year. And also, there's been a lack of injuries. Okay, Trubisky's injured now for a little bit. Mack was injured a little bit, too. But other than that, we've been pretty lucky there. And I'm thankful as a Bears fan that we're relevant this late in the season. I mean, lately, the last several years, by now, by Thanksgiving, we're either out of it, or we know we're not very good, or maybe some of us Bear fans are delusional and think we might win the last four and make the playoffs, but this is the first time in a while that here we are on Thanksgiving and we actually have something to be happy about, and you have the league and the media, you know, national media for once giving the Bears credit where credit's due. And now the next thing I want to say is, Dan, as you know, down at my bar in my basement, I have a skeleton that sits there, and he's got a Bear jersey on, and it's that skeleton's, but he's been sitting there since 1986. He used to be alive, but he's been waiting for the Bears to win the Super Bowl again. So that brings me to my comment. This, you know, with Trubisky getting hurt, kind of reminds me of the 85 Bears with the way McMahon got hurt and Fuller had to step in and everyone was worried. And we all know what Fuller and the defense especially did against Dallas and Atlanta. And maybe we see that Bears defense step up the same way that defense did back then. What do you have to say about that?
Happy Thanksgiving to you, big fella. You know, it's a great point. And let me just say this. Is it possible? Absolutely. Our defense leads the league in turnovers. We are, as a team, plus 13 in turnover takeaway. That's amazing. You know, Detroit is minus 5 by comparison. So we have protected the ball so much better than virtually every team we've played this year. But I think the one thing about the backup quarterback coming in is Chase Daniel capable? Obviously, Ryan Pace thinks so. That's why he's spent, I think, what, $4 million to have this backup quarterback in position. But let me just say this, and just to tag your point, and folks, we don't want to rain on the parade of Mitchell Trubisky and his evolution as a quality NFL starter. But here's the point. It's almost like the head coach, the offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy, is encouraging him to run with the ball, to take the ball down and try to make something happen. He's capable. He's got good movement skills. But here's the point. He should be dissuading him, OB.
Exactly. And
stay
he's
in
not.
The pocket. Try and make another quick decision. Try and make a good, you know, a check down throw, or don't get in position where you have to run. Yeah, and it's almost like the coach is saying, oh, yeah, this is cool. Oh, take a look. And if there's nobody there, take off. Well, it's just a matter of time till your quarterback gets maimed.
Again, Dan, you're right. I brought that up and mentioned to the fact that you cannot design plays in today's game to have your quarterback as one of your main threats running. You're going to get the kid killed. Okay? Why don't you try and move the pocket to the stronger weak side? Why don't you try a bootleg, a naked bootleg? Why don't you work on Trubisky with those plays instead of designing running plays to put this kid in harm's way? I don't think I know what I'm talking about. You see it right on television. You go to Soldier Field, you see it there. That is not the way to do it. My God, the kid's a quarterback. Who knows when he has a horrible accuracy problem, and him running the ball, design plays, is not going to help it. And that just happens to be what's going on here.
All right, let's get into news after a quick timeout. 720 WGN.
This is the Hampton OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Bears inactives today does include Mitchell Trubisky. No surprise there. Aaron Lynch is also on there. Adam Shaheen. Both of those guys were in the concussion protocol. So you will not, there's no chance that you will see Mitchell Trubisky today. 720 WGN. Which
I got to tell you is kind of shocking. He's a young kid and he didn't look like that violent of a shot. But are they coddling him a little bit more? I don't know. I'm just saying, hey.
I mean,
for football stuff.
I think they're thinking long term.
Yeah,
there's
I'm
no
not
doubt.
Shocked he's not even active.
Let's bring Adam Hogue in, our Bears reporter. Adam, no surprise here. And apparently Chase Daniel has known that he's going to be starting, or most likely starting, since Monday. So when you saw the inactive today, I'm assuming you were not surprised at all.
No, not at all. I'm not sure they knew on Monday, though. I think that they were still hoping that, you know, Mitch would, the pain would go away by Tuesday, and certainly, you know, by game time. But I think by Tuesday, when he was still having a significant amount of pain, and that was really the only day they had any kind of real practice, and it wasn't even a real practice, it was basically a light workout, he wasn't throwing the ball at all. And so I think at that point they probably knew Chase Daniel was going to go. And here we go. I mean, I think the good thing is that he's a similar style quarterback as Mitch Trubisky. I'm kind of calling him Trubisky light, because he's a little bit shorter, his arm's not quite as strong, he's not quite as athletic, but he does have more experience in Matt Nagy's offense than Mitch does, and I think there's reason to believe that he could be more accurate, than at least consistently accurate throughout the course of a football game than Trubisky has been, in some games this year. And so, sometimes you have a backup quarterback come in and he's like a completely different style and you have to sort of change the offense up to accommodate that quarterback. That's not the case here today. And I think that's one reason why you haven't seen the Vegas line on this game move really at all. I mean, it shifted a half point here or there, but it's not like the Lions are all of a sudden favored because Mitch Trubisky's out.
Adam Hogue with us here, our Bears reporter on 720 WGN. What was the sense you got out at Hallis Hall this week as far as just the Bears' energy level? I know it's hard to sort of get a sense of that, but the quick weeks was talked about a ton. Did you feel like the guys are going to be ready to go?
Yeah, that's something I've been kind of worried about since Sunday night. And I when we talked post-game on Sunday, I kind of mentioned it there that this was going to be It just sort of sets you up for a letdown. If anything, I think maybe the fact that Trubisky's out, maybe that gets the defense focused a little bit more. Because that's my big question today. I know everyone wants to talk about the quarterback, and I get it. But to me, the question is, on a short week when you exerted so much energy to win one of the biggest games you've had in years at Soldier Field on Sunday night, there's just sort of a natural human nature tendency to not bring that same amount of intensity today, right, on the road in a tougher environment where the Lions have played better than they have on the road this season. To me, the biggest question is today, does the defense still bring that intensity that they had on every single down on Sunday against the Vikings? Because if they do, they're by far the best unit on the field this afternoon in Detroit, and the Bears should still win. But if they have breakdowns here and there, a missed tackle or something like that, that leads to a big play, which we've seen from time to time this season, then that's where this thing could be a little bit tougher and maybe see the Lions pull off an upset.
Well, I could say just a couple things here. Defensively, we won all our games because of our defense. You know, that's not a mystery. And I don't look for the defense to disappear today. I really don't. I think they've got some goals in mind. I think they want to break some record, Bear records. I think they want to set some NFL records. And they're healthy, and they're going strong. And I don't see them falling down dead today. I just really don't. And again, we've been winning on defense. Now, as far as Detroit goes, I got an idea, and I mentioned this to Dan the last time we played Detroit, from what went on in that game with Nagy's trick plays, that because I know as a player, and I've seen coaches react too, you see what this guy tried to do with us? See what he did? Tried to embarrass the hell out of us on national television? And the only reason why I say there's a shot for Detroit, and it's my opinion, nobody else's, is that there's a factor of revenge. In other words, Nagy, how dare you come in and you try to make fools out of us? So I think, if anything, hopefully that might be in Detroit's part, where they see that, they understand it, and they go out there and with a vengeance and go after the Bears. But I don't see the Bears losing because why? Because of our defense. All of a sudden, you're not going to get 11 guys all of a sudden play dead. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I think that this does kind of, regardless of its trick plays or not, just the idea that they were embarrassed a couple weeks ago at Soldier Field. They're coming back home on Thanksgiving. There's a lot of pride in the Detroit Lions organization to play on Thanksgiving. It means a lot to the Ford family. It's one of the few times this season where the Lions are in the national spotlight. And so there's a lot of that that I think is legitimately a part of this game today. Now, what I will say, and where I agree with you, definitely, OB, is that I think this Bears defense has a lot of pride, too. And they're trying to prove that they're the best defense in the league, and they've done a really good job of that so far. I've certainly seen from Khalil Mack, he seems to like playing on national television. That's where he's had his best games this season. And so I don't think there will be much of a letdown on that side of the ball either, and that's ultimately why I do think the Bears will pull out this game today in Detroit. But I do think it's going to be a lot tougher than it was 2 weeks ago, and I think it could come down to a field goal.
Khalil Mack, the first Chicago Bear out on the field up in Detroit this morning, which is his standard pregame preparation. I got a secret weapon for us today, guys. Here's the Bears inactives: Mitchell Trubisky, Michael Burton, Rashad Coward, who's one of their offensive linemen, Javon Wims, wide receiver, Adam Shaheen in the concussion protocol, defensive tackle Nick Williams, and outside linebacker Aaron Lynch. The reason why I read that, one name not on there, Kevin White, who's been inactive for three straight weeks, is active today, Adam Hogue, and Kevin White has a huge connection with Chase Daniel, and he's going to go big today. What do you think?
Well, do you guys know what the highlight of Kevin White's career has been? It was a 29-yard touchdown on a double move, one of the few good routes he's run for the Bears in his very abbreviated four-year career with this franchise. In the preseason game against the Chiefs, you guys remember this? He was wide open. It was a great route. Who threw him the football? It was Chase Daniel.
See?
So Maybe you got something there, Carm. I'm going to say probably not. I think it's going to be a struggle for him to even see the field today. And let's not forget, Darius Slay is active for the Lions, their talented corner, and he did not play 2 weeks ago at Soldier Field. That does change the dynamic today. You'll probably see him on Allen Robinson a lot.
And don't forget, Ziggy Ansah, who's actually been a Bear killer over his career. He is not only active, but I think he's starting. Hey, one last thing. You know, the Bears, it was a laugher against Detroit, and then they answer the questions across the nation. Hey, they are for real. They take care of Minnesota in somewhat easy fashion. Do you think there's a natural tendency for this team to start thinking, well, we've kind of got this. Hey, we got this. And not be emotionally ready for a team that wants to lay a trap for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a legitimate question today. And we'll learn. I feel like I'm saying this every week, but that's sort of the situation the Bears are in because they are relatively untested in this situation. They've been so bad the last 2 years that we don't really know how they're going to react to these type of games. You know, the thing is, every single team, no matter how good you are is going to have letdown weeks. Sometimes that results in an unexpected loss, and sometimes that just results in a game where it's a little bit closer than you thought. You don't cover the spread, but you pull out a victory. And I think the good teams, the teams that are truly ready to compete for a Super Bowl, respond in these situations. You know, the New Orleans Saints, for example, you could have said a couple weeks ago, they go up to Minnesota, they have that huge win over the Vikings on the road. Well, maybe they have a letdown the next week. Well, guess what? They've just been pounding every single team that they've played. Now, in a short week, I could see there being some difficulties today. But let's be honest, if the Bears are for real, and I think that they proved on Sunday night they certainly are for real, this is still a game that you win today.
Adam Hoge with us as we get ready for the Bears in line. Just a reminder, there is no post-game show today. So, Adam, if we were to have you on, and it was the post-game show, what would you be saying at a normal, say, 4:38? Hoagie, what happened today? Go ahead and say it.
I say that Chase Daniel did just enough to win the football game. Wasn't spectacular, but came out and ran the offense well enough. It was kind of an ugly win for the Bears, but you take it, and ultimately the defense came up big. Khalil Mack was dominant again. Akeem Hicks is dominant again. I think those two guys kind of have a little bit of a teammate rivalry going on for who can make the most plays. That's always a good thing. And I think the defense probably comes through with a couple more takeaways, maybe even scores. Maybe that's the difference in the game today with a defensive touchdown once again. And I think this is a game that if we're talking about a win in 4 hours from now, it's because the defense stepped up and got you a victory in a tough week where you don't have your starting quarterback.
Okay, and let me just say this. We don't have a post game today, unfortunately, because I think this is going to be a vastly interesting game in the way it's played out. Now, looking forward, 10 days, the New York Giants. I just made the point that, unfortunately, our coach, our offensive coordinator, Nagy, has basically encouraged Trubisky at all points to take the ball down and run with it, which leads us to the point where we're playing with their backup today. Do you think there will be a mind shift in his coaching points as we go through the rest of the season where now he's going to dissuade him from running? Maybe not only instead of taking the ball down and being proactive, trying to gain yards, buy time, get out of the pocket to the side, much like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, someone else, where he is not as susceptible to those violent hits that has knocked him out.
Well, maybe you see a few less design runs, maybe less zone read. The problem is his legs are such a big part of this offense, and that threat, we've seen defenses spy him, which helps you out in other areas. That's the problem. So I think it really will more so come down to a pain tolerance level. And what I will be interested to see, and I do think that Mitch Trubisky will be back against the Giants in about a week and a half, does Mitch play a little bit differently? Whether Nagy's calling things differently or not, is he a little bit more careful about tucking the ball or getting down sooner? just because he may be dealing with a pain tolerance level. And that can obviously affect decisions you make in your brain when you're worried about something hurting. And then the other side of that is maybe that sounds smarter, and it might be, but does it affect his play in a way that you don't want to see? So I'm not so sure just because Mitch is going to be back in a week and a half that we're out of the woods on this whole thing with Mitch Trubisky. It'll be interesting to see how it impacts the offense. Even if he's playing, he might not be 100%. Even if he is 100%, it may impact decisions that are made, throws that are made, maybe even his accuracy. It is his throwing arm. So I am still a little bit concerned about this whole situation.
Well, one thing real quickly here. Let me tell you something. When Nagy put in those designated running plays for his quarterback, I almost fell out of the chair. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Your quarterback is in harm's way enough when he drops back to pass, let alone when he tries to sneak out and run and get the and run as much as he's running. That's enough already. But for Nagy to put that kid in more of a harm's way in designated running plays when you have Howard, a proven running back, Tariq Cohen, he can break plays. That's what they're called, running backs. That's who you give the ball to. There's five guys up in front where the tight end makes it six. What do? They block. They block on running plays. They block on passing plays. You don't take a quarterback. You get him more into the passing mode because of what this league is. But I can tell you, for him to put him, again, in more of harm's way and designated running plays, last week I told him I almost fell out of the damn chair. What the hell is he thinking about? He's not a runner. He's a quarterback. He's a passer. That's why we drafted him. And that's what you want him to be, is an efficient, accurate passer. And we're putting in plays for him to run. Why do we have running backs then?
Adam, happy Thanksgiving. We will not talk to you after the game. You're the man.
All right, guys. Enjoy the food. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
All right. Happy turkey, everybody. Final timeout, 720 WGN.